Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. I want to thank Jeff for sending a donation with the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net. You can also go through PayPal at support.greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Or you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date is June the 18th of 1950, and the title is Shakedown.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
I realize, Mr. Jordan, that this is a rude and bewildering awakening for you at 4 a.m., but please try to excuse my little joke.
It was a smooth voice, and it came from the deep shadows of the room. I couldn't see him, but I could smell him. The reek of the cheap perfume he wore filled my room.
This, I grant, Mr. Jordan, is an unusual way for us to meet. But then, as you shall see, our business is unusual, too.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Please, one question at a time. My name is Max Scarborough.
Get out of here.
But, Mr. Jordan, we've scarcely begun our talk.
We've ended it. Now get
out. No. Do not get out of bed. Though you may not see it, I hold a gun in my hand. So you will have to have this talk with me, whether you wish it or not. Now relax yourself and pay close attention. And I must warn you, if you become too restless, I shall be forced to squeeze the trigger.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best-liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world, takes you now to the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story,
Shakedown.
Well, it had started in a hurry with the clanging of my alarm clock, the reek of a cheap cologne, and a smooth voice coming at me from the shadows of my bedroom. He had said his name was Max Scarborough, and he wanted to talk. And he held a gun, so I let him talk.
I am the kind of person you might consider scum. For I'm the kind of person who, for money, hires himself out to do the most revolting of jobs.
Turn on the light so I can see.
That would be unwise. I have not come to be seen, simply to be heard. So I continue. I am scum. I have no principle. Morals is nothing more than a word to me.
You're making this sound like a true confession.
I am desirous only that you grasp the full implication of my character. Now I ask you this question. You know the name Emil Wellman?
Wellman?
Recognition, but why not? Was Emil Wellman not the man you and you alone were responsible for committing for 15 years to the Federal Penitentiary of Leavenworth for acts of espionage against your country?
Oh, your information's a little off, Scarbo. I was one of the witnesses against him.
A point over which we shall not quibble. Now, Emil Wellman was released from prison in November of 1949 and deported from the United States. Since then, he has actively taken up a cause which has interested him for some time. The cause is to avenge himself against you.
Oh, it's beginning to clear.
Yes, I thought it would. Thus, Emil Wellman has engaged me for the sum of 5,000 American dollars to kill you.
Ah, you're drunk.
Don't make a move out of that bed.
Get out of here before I... Well, you have got a gun.
The mirror may be mended. It is not so easy with a human life.
What do you want, exactly?
Well, it has occurred to me that if your death is worth $5,000 to Emil Wellman, your life should be worth, shall we say, $10,000 to you.
Oh, it's a shakedown.
Oh, it's not that at all. It's a business arrangement. I am selling you life for $10,000.
And if I don't take?
I shall sell Emil Wellman death for $5,000. Now, Mr. Jordan, I realize it's much too early in the morning for you to reach a clear decision on so vital an issue. So I shall give you the rest of the day to think it through. We shall meet this evening. I do hope you will not disappoint me. For though I am scum, I would prefer not to have to kill you.
Oh, and besides, $10,000 is twice as good as five.
Yes, a matter of simple arithmetic. Well, I must go, Mr. Jordan. Now, please lie face down on the bed and do not rise until you've counted to 20. That will enable me to leave by the window as I arrived and not be seen by you. Goodbye. And let us hope our next meeting will be as pleasant as this one.
Scarbo slipped away quietly, and some moments later, I lit a cigarette, looked at the shattered mirror, smelled his pungent cologne, and began to think of Emil Wellman. It all came back to me in a hurry. I had done a job for G2. Emil Wellman was a German agent gathering information on new weapons. I was a go-between who had sold him phony documents which had tripped him. But I asked myself, was revenge in Wellman's book? Was Scarbo kidding or wasn't he? I decided to see if I could find out. So at 9:30, I was at the American consul's office talking to Fred Masterson.
Sure, Rock. I'll give you a hand if I can. What is it you want?
I wonder if you could check on a man named Emil Wellman. He went into Leavenworth in 42. I heard he was deported from the United States in 49. I'd like to know where he was deported to and what's known about his whereabouts and activities now. I'd appreciate a cable.
Well, you are in a hurry.
Gotta be.
Okay, I'll get to it right away.
Oh, one thing more, Fred. Did you ever hear of a man named Max Scarbo?
Scarbo? No, I don't think so. Why?
I'll tell you all about it later. I hope. I left Masterson's office and began a systematic tour of other consuls' offices in town. English, French, Belgian, Italian, and so forth. I spent some hours at it, but got no lead on Max Scarbo. I began to think it was a phony name, which wasn't unlikely. I was walking down the Sharia El Mulik, figuring what to do next, when I spotted the cab bearing down the street in my direction. Instinctively, I pulled back, waiting for something to happen, but nothing did. The cab came to an abrupt stop.
I'll catch him for you, lady, you bet.
And the girl in the back seat, dark-haired, black-eyed, with the look of someone who knew a way around, flung open the cab door and called to me.
Oh, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah?
I happened to be at the office of the Italian consul and heard your questions about a Max Scarbo. Would you care to step into the taxi?
Yeah.
I'm driving just a few blocks further to the Hotel North Africa. You do not mind the ride, do you?
Oh, no, not at all.
Driver, continue, please.
Yes, sir. You bet, madame.
Do you have an American cigarette?
Certainly. Leah?
The Americans may not know everything, but they do know how to make cigarettes.
What about Scarbo?
Oh, yes. My name is Maria De Monti. Some years ago, I worked for an Italian newspaper in Trieste. It was there that I first heard of and saw a man whose name was not Scarbo, but something quite close to it. Scabrini.
Yeah, the name could have been shortened.
It could have indeed. I do not know if he is the same man you are concerned with, but I can describe him for you and you will know.
Well, I'm afraid that isn't going to help. I didn't see Scarbo. I just heard him and smelled him.
Cologne?
Yeah.
An odious cologne he wore in great quantities. I remember it very well. Well,
that's the man.
I thought it might well be. You see, there is further reason I felt it was so. 3 days ago, at the gambling tables of the ancient club of Old Cairo, I saw Scabrini losing large sums of money.
Do you know where he's staying?
No.
I bet someone at the ancient club will know. Hold up, cabbie.
Yes, ma'am, mister.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Mr. Monty.
Maria, please. As you know, I am at the Hotel North Africa, if you wish to talk more.
Well, Maria's cab pulled away. I figured it was time I threw a few questions around at the ancient club in Old Cairo. I went back to the tambourine first, fished my gun out from under the counter, checked the clip, then slipped it into my pocket. But I began wondering if perhaps I shouldn't drop in to see Captain Sam Sabaya first. That's when Sabaya himself walked into the tambourine carrying a grim look.
But I see you are just about to leave, Jordan.
As a matter of fact, I was on my way to see you.
Indeed. Then you certainly do not mind if we step into your office. We have a grave matter to discuss.
What's up, sir?
You shall see. Inside, please, Jordan.
All right, let's have it.
Jordan, I wish to ask you a most direct question.
Go ahead, sir.
What would you do if it came to your attention that some specific individual of violent nature had been hired to kill you?
What are you getting at?
You know very well what I'm getting at, Jordan. I'm a policeman. It is my job to prevent violence. I know for a fact that a man by the name of Scarborough said he had been hired by an Emil Wellman to kill you.
Well, I don't know how you found out, but it's true.
It is also true that Scarborough offered to let you live if you paid him $10,000. It is true, too, that you are not the kind of man to pay tribute, so I ask you once again, what would you do to Scarborough?
Oh, you're getting all worked up over nothing, Sam. The only plan I had was to find him and, well, maybe work him over a little bit if I had to.
I see.
I was on my way to tell you all about it.
And let the matter rest solely in the hands of the police? I find that very hard to believe. Kindly open your coat, Jordan, and give me the contents of your inside pocket.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Give me the gun.
Yeah.
Fully loaded.
Not much sense in carrying it if it isn't.
And there is no sense whatsoever in carrying it if the carrier did not believe it would be necessary to you.
I wasn't going to shoot up your Cairo street, Sam. I had a little problem. I was handling it the best way I could.
The worst thing you could have done was what you did. Wander through Cairo asking questions about Scarborough with menace in your voice.
What do you mean?
It is not true that Max Scarborough was hired by Emma Wellman to kill you. As Mr. Masterson of the American Consul will tell you, Emma Wellman died in the American prison more than 3 years ago.
I don't get it. What's all this big song and dance about Scarborough being hired by Wellman to kill me? Unless it's just a plain, not too fancy shakedown. There was no $5,000 in it for Scarborough, but he was trying to use the Wellman scare to get $10,000 out of me.
A likely prospect.
Well, that took a lot of nerve. Suppose he figured he could get away with it.
Now Max Scarborough will get away with nothing.
What do you mean?
Some hours ago, we fished his body out of the Nile. We are currently attempting to uncover his murderer.
Is that what brought you here, Sam?
Jordan, there are those who say that you, justifiably or not, had motive. I think you had better come with me.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Now, here is Larry Thor.
Friends, there's an exciting surprise waiting for you the first time you try that wonderfully different style of pineapple called Del Monte Pineapple Chunks. Yes, I do mean exciting, because these big, tender wedges of tropic fruit are so thick, so juicy, you'll say it's more like eating pineapple right out in the island somehow than any other style you've ever enjoyed. They're about 1 inch long and 1 inch wide, cut from double-thick slices of rich, ripe, golden pineapple, deluxe and delicious. What a delightful change for breakfast, to serve these luscious chunks chilled, sparkling cold, refreshing as can be. They're quick and easy for dessert, too. Just plain, or maybe sprinkled with coconut. They're a handsome addition to salads, a perfect partner to meats, a distinctive appetizer, too. They're so good, so many ways, superbly rich in the tart, sweet, full ripe flavor you find in all five styles of Del Monte pineapple. Remember, I'm talking about chunks. Del Monte pineapple chunks. Surely you want to try them. Ask your grocer tomorrow.
Now we take you back to Cairo in tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Shakedown.
Well, it started with a high-smelling character named Max Scarborough who tried to shake me down, claiming he'd been hired by Emil Wellman to kill me. But it turned out Wellman couldn't have hired him because he was dead. On top of that, Scarborough himself turned up dead in the wetness of the Nile. And Captain Sam Sabaya, Cairo police, was casting his eye at me. Well, Sam bundled me down to police headquarters, and I could tell there was something big working on his mind. I thought it strange when he walked me past his office to another office down the hall, urged me in while he stood in the open doorway. Inside, sitting behind the desk, was a big man with a cigar clamped between his jaws.
This is the man, Mr. D'Angelino.
So that is Jordan. Thank you, Captain Sebai. Your cooperation is most appreciated. I shall ask for you again if I need you.
Your pleasure, Mr. D'Angelino.
Oh, wait a minute, Sam. You're not leaving.
I am, Jordan. The matter of the Scarbo killing is not in my hand. Goodbye.
Please seat yourself, Mr. Jordan.
Who are you?
My name is Vito D'Angelino. I'm of the secret Italian police. Here are my credentials. Look them over. I do not want any confusion as to my identity and my power. The Egyptian government has been kind enough to allow me to handle the matter of the Scarbo killing in my own fashion. And you will learn that I am not a tender man.
Yeah, all right. The credentials look good. What do you want with me?
Why did you kill Max Scarbo?
You're sort of a screwy cop, aren't you? Don't you want to know if I did it before you ask why?
It should be apparent, Mr. Jordan, that I'm already convinced you did kill Max Scarbo. Now I must know why.
Let's break it down, D'Angelino. First, what makes you think I did it?
Facts, Mr. Jordan. Facts.
Oh.
This is a belt. The initials upon it are R.J. The fingerprints have been examined. It is your belt. You wish to know where it was found?
Oh, you're going to tell me anyway.
Around the throat of Max Scarbo. It is what killed him.
That doesn't mean anything. It could have been stolen.
Yes, it could have. So, more facts. These papers, Mr. Jordan, signed affidavits from members of 5 different consuls in Cairo stating you were in frantic search of Max Scarbo this morning.
All right, so I was looking for him. That still doesn't say I killed him.
True. Further fact. Roberto, you may send her in. Oh, come in, Miss De Monte.
Maria.
So, you know this young lady. Splendid. I expected a denial.
You sent for me, Mr. D'Angelino.
I did. I wish you to repeat to Mr. Jordan what you told me earlier today.
This morning, I was at the waterfront. I am preparing a feature story on the Nile for a French magazine. I was walking through the dock area when I heard a strange sound. I looked. Behind the packing cases, I saw one man strangle another with a belt and throw the body into the Nile. I turned away to look for policemen, but it was much too late. A moment later, the murderer approached me and began to talk to me. I could see he was feeling me out to determine whether or not I had seen the incident. I acted casually and convinced him I knew nothing. But in the conversation, we learned each other's names. The murderer was Mr. Jordan. I can testify to that.
That's a lot of story. It took a lot of imagination. But it's a lie.
What else would you be expected to say, Mr. Jordan? I am, however, convinced it is the truth. You may go now, Miss De Monte.
Now, wait a minute.
You may go, Miss De Monte.
Thank you. As you know, I am leaving for Paris this evening. But I can be contacted at the Hotel North Africa.
Yes, of course.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Pretty high pressure, aren't you?
I must be. I have a difficult job. All right. We move now to what interests me most. Motive. Did you kill Scarbo because he threatened your life, or was there other reason?
That I don't follow at all. I didn't kill Scarbo in the first place.
It was important for the Italian government that Max Scarbo remained alive. The reason, I think you know. Scarbo was an informer. He was the fish the Italian government had dangled as bait to lure into the open an important Italian criminal named Felix Cori. Scarbo's death, however, lessens considerably my chances of apprehending Felix Cori. So, is it that you killed Scarbo because he threatened you, or because you are in the employ of Felix Cori?
The Italian cop wasn't kidding, and I could tell he felt quite strongly. Cori and I worked hand in hand. Now, the setup was getting more entangled all the time, and I didn't know where to turn. Well, D'Angelino had all the weight, and so the move was up to him. When it came, it surprised me.
I will make a deal with you, Mr. Jordan. I will allow you to plead self-defense in the Scarbo killing and back up your claim if you reveal to me the whereabouts of Felix Cori.
Well, that's very sweet of you, but I don't know Cori and I didn't kill Scarbo, so I won't take.
You're still not impressed with my strength?
All I know is I didn't take care of Scarbo. And if you really think I did, you'll book me and we'll find it out in court.
Who said anything about booking you?
To keep me from walking out of here right now, you're going to have to.
And where are you walking to?
That's my business.
All right. All right. Walk. But do not walk out of this city, or your trouble shall increase.
It was easy to see why D'Angelino was letting me go. He figured I'd lead him to Corey, who I didn't even know. Well, what I was thinking about was Maria De Monte. She had a reason for lying, and I wanted to know it. I got to the lobby of her hotel in time to see her pick up an envelope from the hotel clerk. On it, I could just make out the emblem of Air France. I followed Maria up the stairs. Then as she unlocked the door to her room, I moved up fast.
Oh, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Now, come on, inside. Yeah, it's better.
What do you want?
That's sort of a silly question, isn't it? You know what I want. I want to know why you lied to D'Angelino.
Lied? I don't believe I did.
Lady, I don't often go in for cuffing women around, but I could change my habits for you.
It would get you nowhere.
Maybe it wouldn't, but I'd feel better for it.
Get out of here. I've got nothing to say to you.
And I got plenty to say to you. I've been set up for the Scarbo killing from the very beginning. Felix Corey did it, and I'm supposed to take the rap. Your job with that witness story is to tighten the rope. So I figure you got a strong relationship to Corey.
And what if I have?
As you can tighten the rope on me, you can also loosen it. Where is Corey? All right. Maybe I can find out by myself.
What are you going to do?
Let me see that plane ticket. Two tickets. One for you and one for Felix Corey.
Maybe you are wrong about that.
And we'll soon find out. And the plane leaves at 10:30. That's an hour and a half. How's Corey going to get his ticket? By meeting you at the airport, I'd say. All right, we'll both meet Felix Corey at the airport. We got to the airport about 45 minutes before takeoff time. The Paris flight, the information girl said, left through gate 6. So I moved Maria close to the gate's entrance and stood a few feet from her, trying to look like I was with her.
Flight 167, Air France for Paris, now loading at gate 6.
The passengers started onto the plane and still no Corey, so we kept right on waiting. Then it was 5 minutes before takeoff time. Suddenly I caught something in Maria's expression. She had looked at a short, stocky man carrying a briefcase who stood away from the crowd. It seemed Maria looked at him, trying to warn him of something with her look. Then she turned away abruptly. That was Felix Corey. I moved toward him carefully. But a moment later, I knew I'd made a mistake. A fat lady came out of the crowd. The man in the briefcase grabbed her by the arm, and together they walked through the gate toward the plane. It wasn't Corey at all. Maria tricked me. I spun around to see if she was still by the gate's entrance. And I looked directly into a red, fat face with a silly smile. It belonged to a man with his hand deep in his coat pocket. Then he spoke.
Do not reach into your pocket for the gun. As you can see, I will not allow it. Will you never learn, Mr. Jordan, that though I may be scum, my brain and Maria's are extremely alert.
It was screwy. The voice that came at me was the voice of the man who woke me up early that morning. The voice of Max Scarbo. The man who was supposed to be dead.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
These warm June days are just the time you get hankering for juicy, refreshing fruit, and lots of it. And you know yourself that sometimes a combination of fruits hits the spot as nothing else quite does. So you really ought to know what a wonderful combination of fruits you get in Del Monte Fruit Cocktail.
I certainly do, Larry. It's like having all five of your favorite fruits in season at the same time, only better.
Yes, because you can get them without any peeling, cutting, or mixing for you to do, and all in the same can in just the amount you want. In Del Monte Fruit Cocktail, yellow peaches and tender pears are already cut and mixed in perfect flavor balance with tart sweet pineapple tidbits, juicy grapes, and scarlet cherry halves. So it's only a matter of minutes for you to fix up cool, luscious fruit salads, desserts, or starters.
Well, nobody wants to spend any more time in the kitchen than she has to, especially when summer comes. That's why I keep plenty of Del Monte Fruit Cocktail handy.
Ladies, wouldn't you like to have the good looks and good flavor of five sparkling fruits anytime and anywhere you want them? Buy Del Monte Fruit Cocktail yourself. Let it help you take it easy this summer.
Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
¶¶
Well, it was making less sense all the time. There I was, held at gunpoint at the Cairo airport, and the voice coming at me was the voice of the man I thought was dead, Max Scarbo.
You appear bewildered, Mr. Jordan. That, well, you should be. Maria?
Yes, Felix.
Felix?
Felix Corey, yes. She'll all become clear in a moment, sir. Shall we step to the shadows of that edifice so we may not be heard or seen? Come, Jordan, move.
The plane, Felix. We will miss it.
There are a few moments yet, Maria. Here, this will do. Now, Mr. Jordan, do you wish an explanation?
Oh, I think I've worked it out myself. The man who showed up in my room early this morning wasn't Scarbo at all. It was you claiming to be Scarbo. That was one reason you kept in the shadows so I wouldn't see your face. The whole purpose of saying you were Scarbo and that you were hired to kill me was to give me motive to go after Scarbo myself. You stole my belt, strangled him, and it was all made to look like I was the one who had done Maxie.
You are quite right, Mr. Jordan. Max had to be killed. And I, of course, need someone else to take the blame.
And while the police were busy with me, you and Maria were to be winging your way to Paris.
And nothing will change that plan.
Well, I'm kind of in the way right now, wouldn't you say?
Just for a moment. But when you're lying in a heap behind those bushes with a knife in you, you will be in no one's way.
Last call for flight 167, Air France for Paris.
Oh, please, we must hurry.
Yes.
Felix Corey snapped open his knife and took a short step toward me, and I knew it was time to move. I kicked my foot out sharply to aim at his shin, but he stepped aside and I missed. He moved in faster, then gripped my collar and aimed the knife at my throat.
Felix, it's D'Angelino!
What?
Maria yelled, and Corey's hand stopped in midair. That was all I needed. I slammed a hard right in his face, and he stumbled backwards.
D'Angelino, Captain Sabaya, they're coming this way!
At Maria's cry, Felix Corey lost all interest in me and bolted out onto the flying field.
Halt! Stop running, Corey, or I shoot!
Corey kept right on going, and then the noise broke. Corey stiffened, spun around, and crumbled in a heap. Maria began to cry real loudly, and suddenly it was all over.
More coffee, Jordan?
Oh, no thanks, Sam.
But I will have some, Captain Sabaya. I find the brew most stimulating. Ah, thank you. Well, Jordan, how do you feel now that the case of Scarbo and Corey is at an end and Maria De Monte in custody?
Well, that depends. You still haven't said you don't believe I killed Scarbo.
I thought it was apparent.
Just for the records, huh?
Well, the fact of the matter is I never for a moment really felt you did kill Scarbo. I was simply using that as a device to activate you.
And you cannot say, Jordan, that you were not activated.
No, I guess I can't. Now I want an answer to one thing. Why did you wait so long before you put in an appearance when Corey was coming at me with a knife?
Oh, that.
Yes, that. I don't know whether to stay mad at you or not. Let's hear the reason.
It is a selfish one, I'm afraid. You see, Mr. Jordan, first, I had no way of knowing Corey would make a dash for freedom and would be killed in the process. I assumed he would be taken alive.
Go on.
Now, I did not know for certain that I had enough legal proof to convict him of Scarbo's murder. And so, with your unwitting help, we were building another case against Corey. One that would send him to prison for a long time. A case that could be upheld legally.
Oh, I get it. Attempted murder against me.
Correct.
Oh, you are a sweet one. Yeah, I think I'll have that other cup of coffee now, Sam.
I thought you would need something strong, Jordan. I have already poured it.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Gomer Kuhl and Larry Roman, stars Jack Boyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya.
and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is Dilemma.
Anytime anyone gets thirsty at your house, pour tall, cool glasses of sparkling Del Monte pineapple juice. It's grand refreshment for the whole family, with a tart sweet flavor that's full of tropic sunshine. Enjoy Del Monte pineapple juice soon.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, it was interesting getting some background on Rocky prior to his time coming to Istanbul, because this was in 1942, which would be before the man called Jordan in that wartime series. And I will say that one thing with Rocky Jordan is it does kind of make me wish that we had a lot more of a man named Jordan. There's just a couple episodes, and it was a serialized series, so the two random episodes out there don't really form anything. So I don't know whether Rocky Jordan is making up things or whether it's carrying forward continuity from that original series, which I think would be fun to listen to anyway. All right, now listener comments and feedback, and we have this comment from Bill. Regarding episode 2945, The Word of a Bishop, Bill writes, "Hi Adam, I too was wondering what was going on with the opening credits, especially calling it the Rocky Jordan Show, and the absence of Larry Thor until the end when they mentioned Armed Forces Radio. Then it all makes sense. I remembered how the Dragnet episodes that you've aired that came from the Armed Forces Radio had the ending credits deleted in favor of an announcement the episode was brought to you by Armed Forces Radio Services. I agree with you. I didn't like it." Well, thanks so much, Bill. And definitely in the case of the Rocky Jordan Show, the AFRS version is not very good beyond what you can get from the actual episode. I will say that there are some programs that were done fairly well. I like, you know, Johnny Dollar with the service announcements. And of course, that really classy, beautiful music that was played at the end of The Adventures of the Abbots. So it does depend on who was working on it. But yeah, in some cases, the AFRS versions do take some flavor out of the program. Then we have a question from Glenn, who writes, "Have you considered using GoFundMe for fundraising? I do a lot of video recording photography at various internet governance forums, and my focus on civil society, and I raised almost 1,000 from 17 contributors early this year." Well, thanks so much for the question, Glenn. Regarding GoFundMe, I'm not certain I really see that as a need or something that would work well for me. I think, you know, we have PayPal, and of course we have Patreon support. And I think GoFundMe tends to work best if you're looking at like a large expense that you're covering. Maybe if I was going to take a trip to go somewhere to see something or had some like big one-time project that needed funded, maybe a GoFundMe would work. As it is, you know, with what we have with the PayPal and Patreon, it just seems like another, you know, company to direct folks to, and I'm not certain that it would do a whole lot of good at this point. So I'll keep GoFundMe in mind, but I'd have to have some big project that specifically required a GoFundMe campaign. All right, well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you so much to Jeremy. Jeremy has been one of our Patreon supporters since February of 2016, currently supporting us at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Jeremy. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.